You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Katrina Sawa, and we talk about a time in her life when she realized that she was in a not so great or even bad situation, something she didn't like, and so she made a change. So that's pretty vague, and I know it. And there's two things I want to share with you about that before we get started. First, there is an actual event that I talk about with Katrina in her life, so it's a captivating interview for sure. Second, the reason it's a little vague is that it turns out that this is something that Katrina is fairly good at in her life. And as sometimes happens when we have something that we're good at for ourselves, we may not realize that this is hard or challenging for other people because it's not for us. So I take Katrina into the details about how she does this, how she figures it out for herself, and how she walks herself through it. And what that means to you is that if you're in a spot in your life where you're sort of thinking about or wondering if you should make a change based on what's going on, if you're ready for a shift and you're just not quite sure, well, you really might find this interview very supportive and maybe even, dare I say, helpful. So if you're ready, it's time. Let's do this. Katrina Sawa, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm so happy you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
Of course. Thanks, Amy.
I'm happy you're here. I start every interview asking people where they call home. I actually know your answer, but share it with the audience, please.
I am in Northern California by Sacramento. So a little bit northern than the Bay Area. We have beautiful weather here right now. It is an amazing summer.
Fantastic. All right. We're going to get to the main topic in a second, but I want to ask you one more warm-up question, which is share with us something that's like a word of kindness or a little bit of a compliment or something that you've done that's nice to somebody else recently.
Well, I go out of my way for a lot of people because I believe in sisterhood and collaboration. I have one gal that is going through divorce, hard divorce in my area. And so she doesn't have an attorney because she doesn't have the money because her husband closed all the accounts to her. And so I'm going to court with her.
That is more than a word of kindness. That is like real life in-person support. Yeah.
Yes. I'm more of an action person. I mean, I'm okay with words, but so many other people are better than words with me as far as that goes. I think it, but it's hard for me to say it. I just do things.
You do. And also, you and I know each other a little bit outside of the context of this interview. And we've even briefly met in person, I think, but you're very direct as a person, which is one of the things that I love about you. I can see where that answer comes from. I love it. I do. Okay, the topic of the day is not actions and words, but we're going to talk about a time when you made a jump in your life to exit from a situation that wasn't serving you any longer. And that's super vague. Usually I try and talk about very, very specific things. I'm going to get to the point for the audience. The story behind the story of why it's so vague is that when you pitched yourself for the show, you gave me 7 different topics to choose from, which, by the way, for anybody who wants to pitch themselves, I ask for one. Please just pick one. Okay. So Katrina and I know each other. She got a little bit of special treatment here. 5 of the 7 had something in common, that it was a situation that was no longer serving you. So I thought that was a good theme. I'm going to pick the first one from the list you gave me, which is leaving a job because of a horrible boss. Are you ready and willing to talk about that today?
Of course.
All right.
You're probably not listening, so I don't care.
Let's try and go back to the beginning. You've been in business for yourself for as long as I've actually known you. How long ago was it that you were working in the role as an employee with a boss?
It was, it's only been a couple months since my 23-year anniversary as an entrepreneur. So it was my very last job. And I think I left it on probably a Friday. And I started my business on a Monday or Tuesday or something.
24 years ago. All right. Very good. Okay. So let's think back to the younger version of you over 20 years ago. What do you remember about the things that you would say made this person in your mind a horrible boss? Like, what were the things that you were experiencing?
Well, I'd been in a lot of jobs, right? And because as an entrepreneur now, I had the bug, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I did jump around a little bit with some different jobs because I wasn't meant to have a job, and so I've been in sales and marketing all my life. I went to one job that I really liked, which was advertising sales. One of my clients, customers there at the newspaper, who was an advertiser, was a retirement home for, assisted living kind of a place. And so I went to work for them. That was my very last job. And it was just, I mean, I'm a workhorse. I'm from, born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s, and we just work to death. Like we have a really good work ethic, most of us, right? And so I worked, and we had 70 hour, I worked 70 hour weeks usually at that job. And my counterpart, we were marketing directors at the biggest assisted living in the whole area. And there was two of us. We needed three people because it was too much work. There was so much to do. And we would constantly be asking for one more person. We need one more person. We need one more person. And I mean, we did really well, but we worked too much, right? And he was just really glib about it, and says one thing, does another, oh yeah, I'm gonna get you somebody, and but never really tried. And it was a big company, right? A corporate company. And it was just the say one thing, do the other kind of a thing that finally just broke the camel's back. That was that straw that, like, I'm calling you out. Bullshit. Bullshit. You're not going to change. You're not going to get us help. I can't continue working like this. And I told him to F off. In
All
the
right.
office, I literally told him to F off in the office sitting with his boss, by the way. I was called in, I guess. I don't remember. All I know is I told him to F off, and his boss was sitting there, and I felt so good walking out because his boss needs to know how bad he was, and I was telling him all the things. So I was very blunt and direct because I knew I was on the way out. I knew that was going to be my last day. So I just laid it all on the table
You're like, I'm
because
not coming back. There's not going to be a penalty for me.
his
All
boss
right.
needed to know. Yes.
So when I was thinking about the questions for this, I was reflecting on the fact that in my life, I've been in situations where I've sort of gotten a message that, bad bosses, bad teachers, maybe even bad friends. These, people will tell you this is just sort of a thing that happens. You need to be ready for it. You have to work through it, so on and so forth. I can remember distinctly at least one time where I was complaining about a boss I had, and other person was like, "Well, that's always the way it is, you know." Do you remember back then if when you were working these 70-hour weeks with your friend, young, working hard, up and coming, did you doubt yourself in the thought process of like, maybe he's not a bad boss, maybe I should stay and
No,
work it through?
never. No, I didn't ever doubt myself because I didn't know it then, but I'm super intuitive and I just knew, I knew a lot of things and I didn't know what that was back then. I didn't know it was intuitive, that kind of thing. No, I just felt like I'd taken enough in my previous job to, while some bosses will appreciate you and then the next minute they'll come down on you, right? It's like I was just tired of the roller coaster of crappy bosses, I guess. And I knew I deserved to be treated differently. I was really good at what I did, and there was no reason for that. I should be put on a pedestal and given lots of commissions for what I was doing. And instead, it was grueling, and I'm like, no, I knew I needed, I'm worth more. Like this, I'm meant for more.
So you had, I would just say that that sounds like you had at that time a pretty good sense of self-confidence and self-worth. Does that sound right?
Yes. Now I
Yeah.
will say my self-worth kind of was a roller coaster in life, right? But at that time, after doing so well in so many positions, yes, I was very confident about my abilities in the jobs that I've been in.
So
Yeah.
it hadn't always been true, but you at that point you were like, no, I know that I can do
Correct. In
this. All
that
right.
instance, yes, about that thing.
No, yeah, because I mean, I think that, that's significant. Like, we don't always feel confident in everything we do, and that's fair. And some people never feel confident in certain situations, which is not a judgment on that at all. All right. So, do you remember back to then? So this is not your very first job in the world. You'd had other bosses and other jobs. What did you feel like? And this is a weird question because you're thinking back a long time ago, but what did you feel like, if you remember, what the choices were? You were like, I'm leaving, and then I'm going, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to search for a job. I'm going to, go to Kathmandu. Like, what were your choices at the time?
At that stage, I had already made a lot of connections because of working in the advertising world for 2 years at the local newspaper. This was back in 1999 to 2000, maybe 2022, right? Or 202. And I had already made a lot of connections in the area. So I had been networking in four different chambers of commerce. I was in a women's group and a leads group for the newspaper that I worked at. When I moved to this other company, I still had all those connections and I would still network with all those people. So I knew a lot of people and I knew that there was opportunity there. And I'd already sought out a business coach. So I had the foresight to think, I need to talk to a business coach to help guide me because I think I need to go do something on my own. And when I did that, I only think I did like a couple sessions with her, but she did some kind of test with me to see like what are my strengths and all this stuff. And it turns out I was a problem solver, go figure, right? But I came to her going, should I do like marketing consulting with people or should I do a gift basket company? Because that sounded really fun. I love to buy stuff and I love to make gift baskets. Thank God she steered me towards the marketing consulting because that was way more potentially profitable than a gift basket company. But yeah, I felt a little secure because I had a big network.
All right. So at this point, this one that we're talking about, this was you had the bug already and you had begun laying the groundwork for stepping into your own business. And you had two ideas, a gift basket business and sales and marketing business. And they gave you an aptitude test that I have many years ago when I was working in a corporation, they gave everybody in the company an aptitude test. It was a disc analysis or something like that. We were all sitting in the lunchroom taking the test, and one of the engineers came in. He's like, "I love tests. I love tests." And then he sits down, and it's all these questions about like attitude and stuff. And he's like, and under his breath, he's like, "What is this? What is this?" Because he thought it was going to be like an assessment. It was one of my favorite, funniest memories because he was like, "What even is this? What does this mean? Why do I do it?"
Personal
Super.
development. He couldn't
He's
handle
like,
that.
he was not ready. He did not read the description in the all company-wide email closely enough. All right, so you jump in. This is the point. Friday to Monday. This is when you decide to go into business for yourself.
Yeah,
Were
it
you
was.
nervous?
No, actually, I mean, y yes and no. I was excited and scared at the same time, just like most entrepreneurs who come to me. They're like, when they jump into working with someone like me, they say, I'm scared and I'm excited at the same time. Perfect. That's where you should be,
Very
right?
good.
Yeah. I mean, because I knew it was new, but I knew I was capable. I knew intellectually I was capable of figuring it out, doing the thing, making some money. Couldn't be worse than what I was doing before. And I was so tired of bosses. So I thought, oh, little did I know, like, oh, your own boss. You're your own boss. It's even like, that's not necessarily a good boss.
That it lessons we all learn when there's
Oh, so many
nobody
lessons.
to, like I'd like to really blame this on the PR department. Oh wait, that's me. So
So
that's
many
a very
lessons.
good. But so one of the themes here that we're talking about is like you drove this decision. You were like, I am in a situation where I do not like where I am, and I'm going to jump and do this. And at this point, you jumped into entrepreneurship. So I'm going to take a second and just call out to the audience and let them know that they can join us in the conversation. For every single episode, I post a discussion question on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, and you can go and jump in the comments and participate. I'll be there. Katrina will be there. Other people from the community will participate, and it's super fun. So I hope you'll see. I hope you'll be there. Okay, back to the conversation. This idea of like leaving a situation that you saw as not being in your best interest, it's actually like we're talking about, it's very pragmatic. It's actually something people really struggle with.
Yes.
And so the process of figuring out like, oh, this thing that's happening to me, I don't like it. Did you happen to have any examples in your early life, you know, your family, your friends, your teachers, your other coworkers, of people modeling this decision-making of it's okay to cut and run?
Well, I think, you know, when my mom divorced my dad, you know,
Yep.
she did the same thing. I did leave previous jobs too, because I wasn't happy or whatnot, and just went and got another job. I don't stay in things that are uncomfortable for long. And, you know, I didn't know this now then, but I know it now. It's because I don't believe in settling. And so
Okay.
it was really that, settling for crappy people who don't treat you well, or settling for unsavory circumstances, or not enough money for whatever it is, you know, that kind of thing. So it was that not settling. I can't think of a whole lot of other scenarios from
No,
life.
that's okay. What does it feel like? What does it feel like for you? Because this is not really questioning what you went through, but helping other people sort of identify it and recognize and feel familiar with it. When you realize you're in a situation that you is not worth it to you or is not serving you, what does it feel like? Like, what are some of the things that you notice?
Well, you feel kind of yucky. You feel undervalued. You feel hopeless, a little frustrated, probably, and unhappy or sad. You
Yeah.
know, when I was in my marriage, my first marriage, I call it my starter marriage, and I had quit the job while I was married. So we were about 6.5 years into the marriage, and I came home and I said, I quit my job. I'm starting a business. I'm going to figure it out. La, la, la. And he was like, and he got super scared because he was like scared about the money coming in and how we would pay the bills. And I actually went to my mom and got like 3 months worth of living expenses that we needed to supplement from his income and da, da, da. She just gave it to me just to help me out, which was fine because then I started making some money. Now I, you know, so it was it perfect? No. Did I get to six figures right away? Oh, hell no. I was on the roller coaster of cash flow for many years. But 2 years later, my husband and I were basically living like roommates at that point. And it had been 2 years too long because he could never accept the roller coaster of cash flow. He wanted stability. And I'm like, well, I don't have that yet, but I'm doing this. I'm not going back and getting a job. And because this brings me joy and this is exciting and this is happy, it makes me happy and fulfilling. And he wouldn't even come when I was like speaking at an event, even if it was in the evening after work, or he wouldn't come to a networking event with me locally to meet some of my new business owner, entrepreneur friends, just to see what it was like. He just wanted to stay home and, you know, brood about it all or whatever. So he wasn't a bad guy. He was just in fear about lack of money. So it was a shaky couple of years there, but I finally, that was the next leap, right?
That
I
was
had
the next leap. So there's two things I want to talk about that you just brought up. One was the people who around you who were supporting you through this. And it sounds like your mom is a real source of support and strength in your life. And it also sounds like the person who was your partner at that time was sort of supportive, but really kind of not supportive.
Yeah, I find this in a lot of women, a lot of my clients. I attract a lot of the same type of people who are either unhappy in their personal life, or there's something missing, or they're missing the personal life and they're trying to build a business. So along the line, I've always had to look at people's love lives and their business and money making stuff. But yes, I had my mom financially. I know they were doing well, and so I, in the back of my mind, I said, "Oh, I can always borrow money from my mom or my grandma." I had a security mindset in the back of my mind, just knowing I can always borrow money. But that doesn't, that's not, not everybody has that kind of security feeling. I didn't need to borrow more from them, but I knew I could. And before I left the job, I had some kind of mindset to go get a line of credit. Back then, you could get a line of credit. And so I got like a $20,000 line of credit from my bank. Didn't have to use it for many, many years, but thank God I had it like a few years later when I needed it. And I wouldn't have been able to get it as an entrepreneur, but I got it when I was in a job. So just another little tip to look out for yourself ahead of time, right?
So there is people talk about sometimes that it's say the thing that you're in, even though it's a bad situation, can feel safer than the thing you don't know. You were not experiencing that. You took the jump. You were like, I cannot see the safety net, but I'm jumping anyway. Does that are you like a pretty big risk taker in all different parts of your life, or is this like the only part of your life where you take where that's you
Oh,
feel
I
safe?
won't ski down a hill or rock climb or do any of that kind of physical risk taking. Like, I won't fly out of a plane. Of course, I've had a friend die that way. So, I won't do a lot of those kinds of things. I've invested a lot. So, yeah, I guess I am a big risk taker because I'll just go throw down 50 grand over here and do this, or I'll do this over here with 25 grand. And I just trust that it's going to work itself out, right? And
Or you
it
do not trust the parachute.
I don't trust the parachute because my friend died doing
No, I, yeah.
tandem skydiving. So yeah. But there's yeah, any parachute that's on the ground or like a metaphorical parachute, yes.
I think that, I mean, I think that's true. I've never jumped out of an airplane because I'm really pretty confident I wouldn't enjoy it. If I had to, if they were like, you can save the world, Amy, if you jump out of this plane, I'm sure I could bolster the confidence, but I don't think I would enjoy it, and there's no need to. But once upon a time, we were in a group scenario, and everybody I know is like, no, not going to do it. Somebody did not want to go on some jumpy ride at a theme park, and they're like, I'll go if Amy goes. And I was like, well, then you're not going because I'm never going. And they were like, I know. And I was like, there we go.
Right,
There we go.
right, right.
I was
Yeah.
the scapegoat. And I like to, some people will jump blindly without seeing the safety net, without doing things. I like to see and know enough about what I'm doing to jump. Like I will jump off a cliff into like water if I've seen somebody do it, if I know how deep the
Right.
water is, that kind of thing.
Maybe how many drops? Sure.
If I was in the airplane with the parachute, I'd be like, let's take it out and check it, which is not a thing you're allowed to do. Right, but how do I know it's gonna work, right? How do I do that? So people are different. All right. So in the beginning, I mentioned the pattern that I saw. Like I was reading a list and I saw it, right? So job, right? You've mentioned relationship. There's also clients and offers where you have done that. So you have quit clients, you have quit offers. You said that when we talked about how it makes you feel and how you do that, you said you feel a little icky. What are some of the, if you were to be telling somebody else how to watch out for this in different situations, how to make that judgment call, this is not a thing that I want to, continue. What little bit of advice might you give them?
Well, I talk about settling. Like, when I was in the marriage, I was 35 when I left. And I was like, okay, am I gonna live like this without a lot of intimacy, love, and connection for the next 35 years? I'm like, no, I want more. I want more than that. So get out now. Well, I can actually still find another person that will actually give me. So my logical brain kicked in a way. So you will feel like you're settling. And we didn't have kids. So I know there's lots of people, oh, we have kids, we have to save for the kids. I'm like, oh, but I was a kid of divorce. My husband divorced, and now I have a stepdaughter. And so she was a product of divorce. Honestly, I think we're better off if you leave. We're better off if you divorce and leave and just stay amicable in parenting than if you stay unhappy and show us how to be unhappy. That's not a good example. And we deserve, you deserve more. Like, you deserve to have love in your life. You deserve to have a supportive partner. You mentioned earlier about supportive yet unsupportive. Yeah, my husband was more unsupportive, even though he said, "Oh, I support you." But then when it came time to invest $3,000 in a workshop or getting a new website, he's like, "Well, but we don't have the money, but I'm putting it on a credit card." Well, you can't do that. Well, yes, I can, because I have to do that in order to learn how to do the thing to get the money. You can't just make the money and then go learn the thing. You have to learn the thing to make the money, and people have it all backwards. And you just have to find the money or put it on a credit card because that's the cost of doing business. When it comes to, like, I want to empower people just to stop settling
Yeah.
for not being totally happy. We deserve, this life could be short. We could die at 40, we could die at 50, we could die at 60 or 70, or we could make it to 100. But let's make it our happiest, most amazing life ever with the right people around us, doing the things that we love, and just embracing it all.
You know that thing that people say where they're like, you know, the thing you do that comes naturally to you is hard for other people. I think that some people might really struggle with seeing, identifying, and accepting the fact that they're in a situation where they're struggling.
There.
Yeah. So, like, that's what I was like, because you're so clear on it. You're like, yeah, this is not what I want. I am settling and I'm not going to settle. And I believe that there's something else. But I think that I suspect that there are times where, you know, the status quo and the norm is, you know, people are in it and they don't know that they're settling and
We
they don't
don't
see it.
see it. We don't see when we're too close to it, for sure. I mean, I have female clients that, they don't do their follow-up, they don't do their calls, they don't do emails, they don't do video. And when I dig deeper and find out, why aren't you doing these things? I told you what to say, I told you what to write, I gave you the words, I gave you the thing, I gave you the script. Makes it easy, just do the thing. And they can't do it because deep down they're not being supported over here from the either a significant other or a friend or family member that's like pouring in them some kind of doubt or negativity or their own fears, and they're projecting them on the person, right? So we just don't see it, but we feel it, and which then halts any growth in our business or career.
Yeah. So is there a moment when you're going through any of these things, whether it's the job 23 years ago, or the relationship where you're sitting on the couch, or the strategy session where you're thinking about your offers and your things? Is there like a moment where you are like, ooh, I'm settling, and you see it? Or is it like a gentle process that's just immediately followed by a decision?
It's usually gentle over time, and you get signs, you get some signs, and a lot of it's uncomfortable, like letting go of a program or something that I've had. Like, I had this low-end membership for 2 years, and I thought as soon as I launched it, it would get 1,000 members, because at the time I had lots of people looking, and this was way before all the algorithms hit on social media, and it was like really open. You could see everybody's stuff. And I thought, ooh, I'm gonna get 1,000 people because it's only $7 and they get so much value. And it was a struggle over 2 years to get 214 people for a $7 thing. And they would still cancel. Oh, I'm not using it, I'm just gonna cancel. And I'm like, you're gonna cancel a $7 thing? So seven times, that's seven, $80 a year. And you can talk to me anytime you want. Like, even if you just came one time throughout the whole entire year, it is worth the price of admission. And they would still cancel because they don't think they can show up. I'm like, that would baffle my mind. Like, I don't understand what is wrong with you. You say you need clients, you say it. I don't care if you can't come every time. I don't understand that. Like, that to me is crazy, right? So finally, I just got so sick and tired of the crazy people coming and going and thinking that it's not worth it for, like, I just couldn't stand those types of people anymore. I'm like, I'm closing this thing. I don't care how much the 214 people are making me. It's teeny tiny compared to all the crap that I'm dealing with and the emotional stuff that makes me not feel worth it and all the things and the frustration at those types of clients. I'm like, screw that. No more low end. Now it's only high end. So too bad, so
That's so
sad.
funny. Because if I was to play that story back to back with the you quitting your job at 23 years ago, I think they're the same story. It's like you're like, I'm frustrated. I don't like the way this feels. I don't understand what's happening over there. It's enough. It's enough, and I'm going on. I love the parallels between those two things. And I hope that the example is helpful for people who might be feeling a sense of frustration or unease, but not identifying it in that way and telling themselves a different story, which is, my only option is to stay here. Which, I'm not saying that that's not true, but the seeing the choices is where I think sometimes the empowerment comes from, even if you choose to stay, right? If you look at it, you're like, this is really hard, but I'm going to stay for XYZ reason. I still think that's empowering.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
A lot of people stay because of the money, right?
Yeah.
They'll keep the low-end program just because it's bringing in 2,000 or maybe $600, whatever it is, right? I can't lose that $600. You know what? You lose that frustration and those annoying people, and you'll probably bring in three times that. Just
Yeah.
stop. Stop, hanging on by the thread or with a, you're on a rope swing and you can see it unraveling at the top and you're just holding on and holding on instead of just letting go and dropping into the water. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Sometimes so people will say like, let it go. And you're like, no, I'm holding on tight.
Let it
I'm
go.
going to
You gotta let
keep
it go
holding
and
on.
move on.
So, all
Yeah.
right. So in a second, we're going to do the final fun questions, which I love, but I want to give you a chance to talk directly to the audience about what you do today, the amazing things you do, and how you want people to connect and follow you online.
Yeah. Well, I think for this conversation, I mean, if you like what we're talking about, I wrote this book that is all about this. It's called Love Yourself Successful. And it came about because I was working with all these women who were not happy in their personal lives, and I had gone through the same thing. And so I wrote about that, getting rid of toxic people, how having more love in your life makes you more money in your business, and the correlation between love and money and a happier life and all the things. So there's a book, there's also a free audio if you just want to go get the free audio, but those are fun. And I do book publishing now too, on top of the business coaching. So maybe you have a story that you want to get out. I know where you can write one chapter and get it out faster with a whole bunch of people, or you can write your own book, and I'd love to help you figure out how to publish that and tell your story. So I
So
love
yeah,
all of
so
it.
you do business coaching, you do book publishing and collaborative book publishing. What's the best website for people to just get a sense of the things you do?
Well, I would say go to
Dot
loveyourselfsuccessful.com
com. All
and
right,
get the
that's what we'll
book.
do.
You can find everything else there once you're there, but yeah.
Perfect. So that is in the show notes. Thank you very much for that wonderful offer. I love it. I love it. Now it's time for the three fun questions. Are you ready? All right, here we go. If you are home and relaxing with some TV, scrolling through the gazillions of choices, what's your go-to genre of shows do you choose? I'll give you choices. Comedy, romance, action, thriller, sports, documentary, or Law and Order, which is so big it gets its own category.
The Law and Order stuff. Yeah,
Law and
not that show, but like we like Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, any of the medical shows, like all that kind of anything with a plot twist or a, you have to figure stuff out. Yeah.
Very cool.
Investigative stuff. We love it. Even my teenager loves it. We love all that stuff.
Very, very cool. All right. So, this is a little bit of a cheat question because I happen to know that you love connecting and networking with people. Have you ever had a strange or eccentric or just a little bit bizarre start to a conversation that stands out in your memory?
Start to a conversation.
Yeah, like something that somebody just came up and said something totally bizarre to kick off a new conversation.
No.
Okay. That's
I
good.
can't
That's
think of
good.
anything. What was funny is I was on this other podcast called Ridiculously You, and I applied and I said in my application, but I don't really think I'm that ridiculous. And so like it doesn't like I don't know.
Is so funny. That is funny. All right,
I don't know.
very good. All right. If you were sent to a desert island and you could only eat one meal on repeat for the rest of your life, but you get to choose what it is, what do you choose?
It's a toss between sushi and tacos because you could have a variety of types of sushi or a variety of types of tacos, right? So I love them.
I feel like you've put some thought into that from some other time. That's so funny. That's it, Katrina Sawa. Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest on the show.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.